Okay, we're going to start with the introductory remarks from each of the Rabbanim about Shabbos and something that they just wanted to throw out there, and then we're going to start the questions. And we're going to begin with, start with my right, so Rabbi Trump, you are up first.
Good morning. Welcome to everybody. It's a tremendous journey. It's just a tremendous course to be here. I want to thank Rosh Hashiva, Rav Kamenetsky, I want to thank Rav Storch and all the Rabbanim for a... I was looking at the schedule this morning. It's truly remarkable. It's beautiful to see all the Rebbe's, all the parents, all the young men, the bathroom who are here to talk about, to appreciate a little bit more about Shabbos. So I want to just throw out something which to me has resonated for years. I think it's something which I hope is something which works with us as well. You know, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, the Gemara in Brachos, which says the following. The Gemara in Brachos says, a very curious statement. It almost sounds like a metaphoric statement which doesn't have any basis in reality, and that is that a person who takes large steps in life loses 1/500th of their eyesight. Now, without doing a show of hands of how many ophthalmologists or optometrists we have in the room, I don't know how we can really measure that kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we all rushing, we all have big steps to take. Are we really losing our eyesight? Is this something which is really happening? So the funny thing about that is that we would leave that as what we would say, you know, that's an agarata, right? That piece of Gemara is esoteric, it's metaphoric. But the interesting thing is that it's paskin in halacha. I guess clapping is not a good thing, right? Okay, we're going to try with the hands apart this time. Okay? So it's interesting that in Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, it is paskin lahalacha. It's one sif in Shulchan Aruch. That apoesia, psia gasa, you take large steps, you lose a 500th of the eye, the shine of your eye. Strange. The whole thing is a little ironic. Also, what's interesting is the Gemara concludes, don't worry. Let's say we all have to live rushed lives with matzah kantes. This is the Gemara. How do you fix that up? Very simple. Kiddush Devei Shimsha. Your regular return it is with Kiddush of the sunset. Says Rashi, the Gemara refers to Kiddush of Leil Shabbos, Havdolah and Motzei Shabbos. Both wine entering and exiting Shabbos. Apparently that's our resolution to it. Very strange. Very unusual description. So interestingly enough, about 10 years ago, literally on at this time of year, January 2007, there was an event which occurred in Washington, D.C. in the metro. There was a young man who opened up a violin case, stepped onto the metro, started playing the violin. He played for a sum total of 42 minutes. And there was a camera recording what the crowd's response would be. At about 3 minutes, an older man stopped shuffling by on the way to the subway, to the metro, and stopped for a few minutes and then carried on walking. At 6 minutes, he got his first dollar. Somebody, without stopping, threw a dollar into the case and carried on walking. At about 12 minutes, there was a little girl who tarried a little bit, wanted to watch, and her mother hurried her along and carried on walking. And at the end of 42 minutes, without anybody really noticing, he collected the money, a sum total of $32, 20 people giving, and about 13 people who stopped to wait for a few minutes here and there. He closed up the case, put the violin in, and walked off. This was actually an experiment which was conducted by the Washington Post at the time. The person playing was a person by the name of Joshua Bell. Joshua Bell is one of the greatest concert violinists in today's day and age. He played a concert. He was playing on a violin worth $3.1 million, playing one of the most complicated Bach pieces that had ever been played. He had previously played the week before in a sold-out stadium in Boston where the lowest price ticket was $100 per seat. And the question the Washington Post asked of the populace after publishing this article was, are we able to stop and hear the music? It's not a fair question, really. But are we able, when we're rushing to work, when we're getting somewhere, where there's school happening, where there's something to go to, are we able to hear beauty in our lives? That was the question the Washington Post asked. I think it's a question we should all ask ourselves. We have so many things. We have deadlines. We have things we want to achieve in life. We have goals and destinations. Sometimes we're moving so fast we don't even notice the most beautiful music around us. The question that the Washington Post is asking is the same question as the Gemara. The Gemara says sometimes when you move so fast, when you're moving so fast, you can't hear the music of life. You can't appreciate. We're always going somewhere. We're always on the treadmill. We're never arriving. Matakante, how do you fix that? You know how we fix that? We fix that because in one day a week, one 25-hour period, we have Kiddush at the beginning, we have Havdalah at the end, and we say, you know what? Today we're not going to get somewhere. Today we're going to be somewhere. Today we're not going to try to get goals. Today we're going to achieve. Today we're going to be where we are. That's the beauty of Shabbos. Mata Kante is the Kiddush of Hashem Shem. That's why we sing on a Friday night Zmiros, which we'll talk about a little bit later, hopefully, when we get to Zmiros. Is Poisim Boy on Shabbos. Sia Katana. On Shabbos, we ain't rushing. On Shabbos, we're just being. That's perhaps one perspective which, to me, made a tremendous amount of difference in my life. And maybe this is just a diving board for further conversation about the beauty of the music in our lives, which we're not hearing. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Trump. Clapping works from the audience, not from up here. Rabbi Atzor.
I too want to thank Rabbi Kamenetsky and Rabbi Storch and the Rebbeim for putting together this wonderful gathering to talk about Shabbos. It's very interesting that we're in a yeshiva and we're in a place of chinuch. But what's really fascinating is that with regards to many of the many of the mitzvos that the boys learn about, spend their day, dalak kosle beis medrash, are mitzvos that they have a chance to perform and to be involved in on a daily basis. There's one area of chinuch which is really somewhat removed from the yeshiva, and that's Shabbos. Because aside from maybe the yearly Shabbaton and the Rebbeim having their class Shabbaton, Shabbos is not observed in yeshiva. Shabbos is observed in the home. And so I think it's a wonderful step that the yeshiva has done to bring the entire, or at least the male family members from DRS together, because it's in the context of the home that we find the observance of Shabbos. Maybe the Rebbeim are teaching about some of the mulachos and the halachos, but in terms of the actual practice, the practice is not in the yeshiva, it's not with the Rebbe. Practice is in the home, and the home environment, in a very, very real way. I was pointing out to Rabbi Storch that some of you have these survey sheets before you, and they're very telling on different levels, and some of the stats are to be proud of. Some of the stats are, you know, where we could maybe improve. Some of the stats people are questioning, is it really true? I won't point out which one that one is.
Might be question five.
It might be question five in terms of violating the Shabbos, where 10% were honest to say that there was some element of Chilul Shabbos, but Baruch Hashem, 90% pretty much said never, which is something I think in the time that we live is something that's very positive. But like one of the if I was going to ask another question in a way for families to deal with, was how many of the 10% are in the 33% that don't have Shabbos, Miros, or Divrei Torah at the table? And the reason why I say that is because throughout my years, especially dealing with different student populations, what we often find is that the child is really just going after the behavior that's modeled within the home. Very often, sometimes that doesn't occur, but very often, you know, the questions here were about attending Shabbos Mincha in the afternoon, which sometimes there is a decline in participation. So if the child has that decline, sometimes it represents that in the family structure, also maybe Mincha on a rainy, on a cold Mincha this past Shabbos, you know, maybe we declined and there was a lack of attendance. So there's a fascinating Gemara I just want to share as an intro. The Gemara in Shabbos, that's very much linked to Hanukkah, but also linked to Shabbos as well. It says, Harogil b'ner, that a person who's accustomed with a candle will have Havim b'leibamim talmidei chachamim, will have children who are talmidei chachamim. And Rashi tells us that Harogil b'ner, what does it mean that you're careful with b'ner? So Rashi says, based on the pasuk of Kiner Mitzvah v'Torah Or, that it's talking about the Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah. That in a home, in a family that has the Ner Chanukah and the Ner Shabbos, so that home is going to produce Bonim, Talmidei Chachamim, Torah scholars, children who will be observant, children who would score 100% on all the questions of the survey. So ask the Ian Yaakov a fascinating question. He says, listen, we see a lot of people light Hanukkah candles, a lot of people light Shabbos candles, but we don't necessarily have a world that's filled with Torah scholars. So the Ein Yaakov takes a certain approach, which I think we could also play back also to Shabbos as well. He wants to say it's actually not talking about Shabbos. He's saying Harogel B'ner is talking about a parent who goes ahead in the times where there wasn't easily light in the home at night, who took the effort to go get the wood to produce the fire that's going to have an environment of light in the home that will allow the child to have that further Torah study. And so Harogel B'ner is creating that home environment, I think, also with regards to Shabbos, apply it back to Shabbos, that we need to treasure Shabbos. And one of the things that we're going to talk about, I think, some of the details, especially with regards to the phone, is how life around us and the culture around us and the values around us are somewhat threatening that treasure, those bookends that Rabbi Trump mentioned in terms of from Kiddush until Havdalah, and for us to appreciate what the Gemara tells us is the treasure that all of creation, every creation had a day. Sunday had Monday, Monday had Tuesday. Shabbos had no pair. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give Klal Yisrael and Shabbos. You are together. Osi, Beinu, Bein B'nei Yisrael. And we have to inspire ourselves to see the treasure and appreciate the treasure of Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi Yisrael.
Okay, can I go back? It's my turn. Okay, excellent. Okay, again, I just want to thank you all for having me. Especially, I want to thank Rabbi Kamenetsky. You know, I was say hello to Rabbi Kamenetsky over here in the front. Aryeh, they were sitting right here. And I think Rabbi Kamenetsky was my Rabbi in ninth grade. And I walked in over here. Rabbi Kamenetsky said, Aaron said, it's nice to have you. The only person in the world who calls me by my full Hebrew name. And Aryeh, it's been more than 20 years. I don't want to, you know, a long time. And Arayom Azeh, Rabbi Kamenetsky still calls me by my full Hebrew name. It's lovely to be here. And I feel a little bit silly. I've been here around today, talking to Rabbi Shulman. Rabbi Balzer is also one of my rabbis. But, I can help out a little bit. So I want to give a little perspective on Shabbos. I think that we do ourselves sometimes a disservice when we learn halacha. I think when we talk about halacha, a lot of times we talk about details. So we learn about Shabbos. So we learn about all sorts of malachos of Shabbos. We learn about mitzvahs of Shabbos, or Kiddush, and Seudas Shabbos, and we learn about malachos, and Mitzvot malachos, and this and that, and derabbanans, and electricity on Shabbos, and there's a ton of things to talk about. And I think that sometimes when we talk about big ideas, we fail to look at the core roots and talk about what Shabbos is really all about. And so if I can, just for a minute, before we get started, just talk a little bit about what Shabbos is about, because I think it's very clear, yeah? If Pesach is Zman Cheruseinu, that's true, everybody will agree? Nods? If you hear me? Yep, good. And Sukkos is Zman, thank you, Simchas Seinu. And Shavuos is Zman, Matan Torah Seinu. And Yom Kippur is a Yom of, that was an easy one. Not Din. Somebody said Din, that's not right. Yom Kippur is a day of Kippurim, thank you. And Rosh Hashanah is a day of, then Shabbos is, oh, I gotcha. Right, excellent. I think it's very simple, and I think this is often overlooked and very sadly so. I'll tell you what the truth is. Shabbos is about Emunah. That's what Shabbos is about. Shabbos is all about the existence of God and God's active involvement in our lives. You know, we say Kiddush on Friday night, and we say that Shabbos is Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, and we say that Shabbos is Zikaron L'Maaseh Bereishis. So which one is it? What is Shabbos about? Is Shabbos about the creation of the world? Is Shabbos about the exodus from Egypt? So Rabbi Sachs, the Rebbe from YU now, Langer College, Rabbi Sachs likes to say, he says this all the time, he says the two go hand in hand. The two go together. You see, the Rambam writes in his Principles of Jewish Faith, if you say Anamam, it's based on the Rambam, so the very first one, right, is that we believe that God is Borei Umani, that God created the world, but God is also actively involved in the world. We believe that God created the world. Shabbos is about Maaseh Bereishis. But we also believe that God is actively involved in the world. Shabbos is about the exodus from Egypt, but we saw God's hand in our lives. We saw it very clearly. To live and to have a Shabbos is to experience that God is in our lives. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch writes that the reason why we don't do malacha on Shabbos, the reason why we keep the 39 malachos, is because the whole week we dominate nature. The whole week we're in charge. The whole week we try to bend nature to our will. The whole week we're involved in creative labor. On Shabbos, I cease from creative labor, and that makes a strong statement. When I refrain from doing malacha on Shabbos, I'm making an active statement that I believe that I'm not the boss of the world, because the rest of the week I am. Maybe, for some of us. Some of the time. But the rest of the week, in theory, right, we're in charge. We decide what we do. We try to take nature and bend it to our will. And on Shabbos, I've got to lay my work down. On Shabbos, I've got to stop. I've got to stand back. And when I cease from labor on the Shabbos, when I stop doing work on the Shabbos, I'm making a grand statement. And the grand statement is that I believe that there is God who commanded me not to do work on this day, that there is God who's the boss of this world. It's a grand statement of faith. Not to do malacha on Shabbos. To experience Shabbos is to take a moment, right? Like Rabbi Trump said, to slow down, or like Rabbi Axelrod said, to create an environment of Shabbos. But the environment of Shabbos and the slowing down is to invite God into our lives. I think that sometimes we do ourselves a disservice, when we talk about the wonderfulness of Shabbos, that we unplug and turn off electronics, and it's amazing and it's wonderful, but to divorce Shabbos from God is to do ourselves a tremendous disservice and to do Shabbos a tremendous disservice. Shabbos is not just a day of relaxation so that I can have more energy for the rest of the week. Shabbos is not meant to service the rest of the week like that. Shabbos is not the tafel and the rest of the week, the ikar. It's not the way it's supposed to be. Shabbos is this day where it's supposed to be easier for me to experience God. That's why the davening on Shabbos is so long. We get to come to shul so long on Shabbos, and the davening is so, because tefillah is an essential place where we encounter God. And if Shabbos is about encountering God and inviting God into my life, then tefillah is the natural outlet where I have a conversation with God and I open communication with God and I talk to God about what's going on in my life and what I see, what I experience. And so it only makes sense that Shabbos has long davening. It only makes sense that Shabbos should have longer davening than the rest of the week. We'll talk about Suda Shabbos, you told me? Okay, so I won't get into that right now. We'll talk about Hachana for Shabbos, and so I won't get into that right now either. Right, fine. But everything fits into the same thing. It all makes sense. It all makes sense. And I think that living with God is really hard in our lives. I think it's really hard in our lives. I think that a lot of us go through life without God. Can I say that? I hope it's not true. I hope it's a lie. I hope what I just said is not true.
Next year's panel.
No, I hope that's not true. I really hope I'm making stuff up. Right? This wasn't part of the survey, whatever.
We did it 4 years ago.
And am I wrong?
No, I don't think you're wrong.
Because I could stop now if I'm wrong.
You're doing great.
Fine. Right? So I think that it's hard for us to live with God, and I think that's why davening is hard for us. And I think that's why sometimes Shabbos becomes this day where I can take a nap, where I can unplug, where I can, get away from regular routine, which is all good and fine. So it's all good and fine. Added bonus, silver lining, extra bonus. But at its core, really, at its core, Shabbos is supposed to be a day of emunah. It's supposed to be a day of faith. I'm supposed to live Shabbos making a grand statement that I believe that God created the world, and that I believe that God is actively involved in my life. And I make that statement in my tefillah. I make that statement at my Shabbos table. I make that statement in the clothing that I wear. I make that statement in the conversation that I have. And I make that statement in my refraining from malacha. It's all part of the same statement. The statement that I believe that God created the world, that God is actively involved in my world. And I demonstrate that most clearly. By experiencing, keeping, sanctifying, and living the Shabbos. I think that's at its core what Shabbos is really about. And I think that sometimes we get away from the core message of belief in God and living with God and inviting God into our lives, which then spreads its tentacles out and makes different elements of Shabbos more challenging. And to the extent that we can inject God back into our experience of Shabbos, I think that we'll find that our Shabbos comes to affect the rest of our week in ways not just in terms of rest and technology, but also in terms of enlightening our lives and giving us a greater sense of mission and a greater sense of living with God throughout the rest of the week.
Thank you, Rabbi. It's interesting when I read the surveys, you guys don't have access to this, but a lot of the comments, some of the comments are what do you like most about Shabbos, some were the Shabbos meal. What do you look forward to least about Shabbos? Some of the answers were the Shabbos meal. So there is a...
Not the drasha.
We're not going to say that now. Anyway, so the question that I have for our panel is, the meal, the meal time, which is the time to suit the Shabbos, which is the time for family, how would that be most utilized for the benefits of the family to increase their joy of Shabbos? Start with Rabbi Absalom.
So I think one of the main ideas in terms linking to the last question, in terms of providing that environment, right? Gemara tells us about Harav El Bener. The question is, how do we create a home setting that is conducive for all the various ideas that we're mentioning in terms of Amunah, in terms of all the values of what Shabbos represents? And the Suda, the home, together around the meal. I'm not going to ask for another survey, but I think that many of our homes experience the following. We rarely eat together. The common, I think the more common dinner or lunch in a home environment is that during the course of the week, it is very rare for the father and the mother or either one, the whole family, we'll call it the whole entire family unit, to eat together. If I ask a show of hands, how many do not eat regularly as a family during the week? Okay? This is Rebbeim, this is Machanchim. This is just the nature of our dual family. It's no longer many of the mothers and the wives are working. It's just a reality. So facing that reality, we have pretty much, and Shalosh Shuddos usually meant the men and the males are in shul. So we have two meals. And two meals that when I was in high school, I was told, someone said, well, where are you going for lunch? And the Rebbe, it was Rabbi Shillin, said, on Shabbos, you don't eat lunch. Suda Shabbos. It's Suda Shabbos. So we have an opportunity to carve out this period of time to be together as family time, and what it ends up being is an opportunity to have the central family time spent from across the whole week. So here are the two visions. Vision number one is every week my kids have their friends over, this and that, and they're rotating, and maybe it's a Shalom Aleichem, but you go right to the meal, bing, bing, bang. Everyone's, you know, people who are in sweats, already in different clothing. It's within a half an hour, it's over. That's option one. Option two, and it's hard because you've been working the whole week. You have no time to really prepare. But option two is that the household together, the parents, take the time, both in terms of the preparation of the food and the meal, and it's not a half an hour, and it's going to be spaced out with zmiros, with Torah, engaging conversation, asking the questions. It can have a profound impact, both in terms of the family dynamics, the shalom bayis within the entire home. Shalom bayis, we lose sight that it's just between spouses, it's not. The concept of Ner Shabbos, according to those we've shown him, that say it's Shalom Bayis, is really the entire household getting along. And so we have unique opportunities every week to have those meaningful meals. You know, and sometimes, you know, the secular year, there's a big day in the secular world. You know, it's a big classic game today. We're up against some big competition. But the idea is, in the non-Jewish world, in the secular world, it's Thanksgiving dinner. It's like once a while that they have these moments to come together. We have it every week, and we have the opportunity to sit together every week and to talk about any issue that you feel is important that you wanted to impart over. It could be about Israel. It could be about the country. It could be about the relationship between we have with secular society, with the non-firm society. These are wonderful opportunities. What many of us have at the Seder can be done at the Shabbos. But we have to sort of protect that. If we let it become Shabbos lunch, where it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes, no Zmiris, no Divrei Torah, the paper's out, half the people, like for 5 minutes by Kiddush, and then someone's on the couch, someone's in the living room, that's not a Suda Shabbos. And we have to understand the following. Lusher Weiss was in the shul last year, and he made this comment. He quoted Rav Yonason Eifshitz. The Chazal understood that Klal Yisrael was going to be facing very difficult times in the Golos. And they created two institutions that would keep us whole, that would keep us committed to Torah and Mitzvahs. One was the concept of the shul, the base Knesset, and the other was the concept of Shabbos. And primarily, Sudas Shabbos is a very prime time to accomplish creating the Kedusha, the sanctity and the holiness of Shabbos in everyone's homes. And if you do that, there's a tremendous guarantee that that will be the young men here, that will be the Shabbos that they experience. That will be the Shabbos that they, the type of home that they will have in terms of how Shabbos will be observed in the future homes of Klal Yisrael.
Thank you. Classic answer. Thank you for that answer.
Amazing. Thank you. So Rabbi Axelrod is entirely correct. And family time is super important. But to continue beating my drum, which I'm going to probably beat all day, right? And that is that it's not just about family time. Rabbi Axelrod is right. I'm not disagreeing. It's not just about family time. But it's also about inviting God into my family time and to my family table. You know, listen, the halacha is, we got to learn the roots of the halacha sometimes also, right? Not just the details. The halacha is that on Shabbos we have to have Lechem Mishnah. How come we have Lechem Mishnah on Shabbos? Because we remember the man, right? Everybody knows that, right? Why do I have to remember the man on Shabbos with Lechem Mishnah? It's not just because it happened that way. It's not just because in the desert we got double portion of man on Shabbos. It's not the only reason. I know that because already in the creation of the world, the Torah says that God sanctified the Shabbos by Yikasheyu. Look in Rashi over there. Rashi says by Yikasheyu. No? Biman. That's the way that God made the world. God already created the world that way, that it should be that way. Already in the creation of the world, man was dedicated special for Shabbos. And the reason why is because man was our indication that all of our sustenance and food comes from God. That's what the test of the man was. You have to wake up the next morning and you had to know that my food was going to come from God. And I wasn't sure if it was going to come tomorrow, or I didn't know it was going to come tomorrow. Either way, whatever I was thinking, I knew that the sustenance that I was going to have tomorrow comes from God. That's what man is about, and that's what Suda Shabbos is about. Suda Shabbos is about realizing that the food that I have comes from God. The whole week, I grab something to eat, I eat fast. Shabbos, I sit down, I sit with my family, like Rabbi Axelrod said, and I realize not just that I have food, but that I have food that comes from God. The Halacha in Shulchan Aruch is that when you take the Lechem Mishnah, you have to hold it with 2 hands, 10 fingers. That's the Halacha in Shulchan Aruch. You take it with 2 hands, you hold it in your hands. Maybe this tip will help you, maybe it won't. But when you pick up your Lechem Mishnah, when I pick up my Lechem Mishnah, you pick up your Lechem Mishnah, you're holding it in your hands, you do Wolves of Kala, you think about the man. You think about it. You hold the bread for a second in your hands and you think, wait a second, this food comes to me from God, just like the manna of old that came down from heaven. All of the blessing and all of the sustenance that I have in life, it comes to me from God. And then I cut it up and I hand it out to all of my children, because that's the way the bracha works. We sit around at my Shabbos table, so we try to have family time. We try to invite God into our family time. I think I got this from Dr. Belkovitz when I was in Yeshiva University, I think. Give him credit. If he didn't say it, he would have. But I do. No, it's a long time ago. I'm an old man. But I think that I got this from Dr. Belkovitz. We go around our Shabbos table, and everybody in my Shabbos table says something that week that went well. Something that was good that week. Something that we can be happy and thankful for. I know, it sounds like Thanksgiving every week. You know, whatever. You know, my kids, you know, sometimes I'm cheesy, and that's the way I am. I'm the most embarrassing guy in the world. You know, that's life when your kids start, you know, yeah, exactly right. You know, the rest of my parents are relatives, you know. But you try to invite thankfulness into our lives. You try to invite God into our Shabbos table. When you stand in and make Kiddush, you make the statement that I just said before, that Shabbos is Zechar L'Asav Rishis, Zikaron L'Asav Rishis, Zechar L'Tzias Mitzrayim. The meal of Shabbos is also a statement of Emunah. It's a statement of belief. And that's why it's patterned after the man, because the man is that grand statement that all of our sustenance comes from God. And you sit at a beautiful Shabbos meal that is a feast. I think the Shabbos meal is moving now for a little while. Thank God at my table and at some of y'all tables, and you sit at a beautiful feast and you look around and you say, thank God, we have amazing, tremendous bracha in our lives. And you give that kind of thanks to God, recognizing again God's involvement in our lives and God's creation of the world, inviting Him into our lives. And it changes the way that you say benching at a Shabbos meal. Hopefully it changes the way that we look at our lives during the week, because it has spillover to the food that we eat during the week, and it has carryover into our general worldview.
Thank you. I believe. Have a talk.
I just like to express my feeling as being a father listening to the Rabbonim and really gaining myself actually as a father from the Rabbonim. And I just want to just tell you a story which happened to me a year ago, which was just a sort of shift of mind, a game changer for me. I was in Israel, and I was in my sister lives in Shari Chesed. So I was living at the Gras Shul. For those of you familiar, it's, you know, a minion factory, a lot of minyanim going on over there. And I was sitting there, and Rav Goldberg walks in. And I Baruch Hashem, I have a relationship with Rav Goldberg, and I got into a conversation with him, and he took me on a tour of the entire neighborhood. Now, Rav Goldberg grew up in Shari Chesed, so he can tell you the name of every stone. You know, like, he tells you where Rav Shlomo Zalman used to walk down for Shacharis. He'd show you where they used to shech chickens on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, where they didn't have refrigeration. He shows you where the wall was constructed during the Six-Day War, where the rockets would come in from the old city of the Jordanians and you would hide behind as they were davening. Like, he took every part of Shari Chesed is mapped out, and he can tell you this was an unbelievable experience I had one evening. So he comes over to me and he says, I noticed there's an elderly man who used to daven in the Gro. He sits down in the same seat every night, same mirror. He wears a blue and pink checked shirt, sits down with a little white beard, and every night Rav Goldberg goes over to him and says a little Divrei Torah. So I said, Rav Goldberg, who is this man? So he says, this man was a banker who lived, he was the neighbor of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And Rav Shlomo Zalman blessed him with Arich Yomim. He's well into his 90s, and he still davens here. I want to tell you something about this man. This has all just happened as I happened to go to Maariv one night. So he says that, this man was the neighbor of Rav Shlomo Zalman. He's a regular working guy. He worked in a bank and he worked his entire career. He was a very, very fine and honest businessman. And what happened is this man has seven children. All seven children are all Shomrei Torah Mitzvahs, which today, unfortunately, it's not so simple. Not so simple. And a particular Rosh Yeshiva came over to Rav Shlomo Zalman and he says, tell me something. How is it that your neighbor has seven children who seem to just, you know, all slot into place, all find their place so easily? What did he do? Like, I'm a Rosh Hashanah, I'm struggling with my children. I'm struggling where they should be, the direction that they're taking life, the trajectory, where they're going to end up. What's the difference? Rosh Hashanah Zalman says, you know what the difference is? He says, at his Shabbos table, he works all week. He has to get up at 5:30 in the morning to learn. His Shabbos table is the one time in the week he gets to talk about Torah, what really matters to him, his family and his Torah. Says, you learn Torah all week. Your Shabbos meal is the one time you get to talk about other people. Very harsh comment. Now think about this moment. I was reading the surveys. I really appreciated, by the way, all the boys who took these surveys. And I noticed there were a few comments. Some people said the one thing they didn't like about Shabbos was the fact that the Shabbos meal was a time to talk about other people or to judge others. I read that comment. I thought it was a very insightful point. Is sometimes when we have space, we'll call it like vacuum, then what the conversation turns into is the lowest common denominator, which is people. When we talk about other people. And that is a certain way of devolving into the politics and the news and other people and more other people. And that sets a certain tone of what the meal's like. What I think is, for me, was an inspiration and an aspiration is maybe instead of talking about people, can our Shabbos meal be a time to talk about ideas? The Torah that we're talking about. Like Rav Feigenbaum was talking about. A very simple thing, putting around one thing in the week that made a difference to us. One thing that maybe we can all share. And I want to tell you something. We're all partners, folks. Dads, children, rabbis, everyone. We're all in the same boat. That's why this meeting is such a unique moment in our lives where we can all come together because we're brainstorming together how to take our Shabbos meals from people to ideas so that we can, at the age of 90, somebody can point to us and say, you know what? Their Shabbos table matters.
Thank you. You know, my Shabbos meal is usual. My kids ask me what am I most grateful for. I'll say for this conversation. Thank you very much. Rabbi Feigenbaum, I'll start with you. Preparation for Shabbos. Getting ready for Shabbos. Anything worthwhile in this world we spend time preparing for. It's not just, oh, by the way, Shabbos is coming. What is the proper way, the challenges perhaps, or speak a little bit about how we can make our Shabbos more meaningful by getting ready for Shabbos? The proper one.
That's a hard one. It's a hard one it's a hard one because we're so busy. No, I'm saying it's a hard one because we run into Shabbos. You know, like we get off the train at what's that special service on the RRR, and or we take the one after that even, right? There's one more you can take after. You know, and we run into the house. 2 seconds 2 seconds before Shabbos. It's really hard. When I was in high school, when I had a Kamenetsky in the ninth grade, we didn't have school on Friday. We have school here on Friday? Well, okay, fine, whatever. Just saying it like it was.
Could you believe that?
I'm not saying good, bad, or the other. I'm not judging. Just saying fat, you know, whatever it is, you know? I could tell you the number of times that I ruined my mom's cooking. You know, she would have been happy if I would have been in school. That's for sure true. But I'll tell you like this. Halacha and Shulchan Aruch goes like this. The halacha says that a person has to prepare for Shabbos by themselves. Right? It's a Gemara in the beginning of the second parak of Kedushin. The Gemara says that mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucho, one of the examples over there, is preparation for Shabbos. So you've got to prepare for Shabbos by yourself. You've got to do something to prepare for Shabbos by yourself. It is not okay. It is not okay to run into the house 10 minutes before Shabbos to quickly change your clothes and then run to shul. It's going to significantly affect the way that we experience the Shabbos. A person has to find some way that they prepare for Shabbos by themselves. If it's, you know, my dad, I remember, my dad always set the table on Friday. That was always my dad's job. I try to do that with my kids. You know, my dad also used to sweep the floor. I remember growing up seeing my dad sweep the floor. My mom used to make all of the food in the house. The halacha is the husband is supposed to set the wife's Shabbos candles. The wife lights the candles, but the halacha is the Rama says that the custom is that the husband prepares the candles and sets them up. You've got to find a way to prepare for Shabbos by yourself. So one thing is we've got to find a way to actively prepare for Shabbos, but I'll tell you one better. The Mishnah Berurah writes that when a person prepares for Shabbos, a person is supposed to make a verbal declaration. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah says that a person is supposed to make a verbal declaration. I'm doing this for Shabbos. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Shalah. The Mishnah Berurah says that if you declare, I'm doing this for Shabbos, then it gives greater Kedusha. The Shalah tells the following story. I see the Kunstlers in the back. You know, my step-grandfather, Sam Kunstler, all of Hashalom, when he used to sit at the Shabbos table, so I spent Shabbos with my grandmother and my step-grandfather, and my grandmother used to bring food to the table, and before he ate anything that my grandmother made, she used to bring out soup. Before he took a bite of the soup, he held a spoon in his hand, and he used to say, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh, and then he would eat the soup. My grandmother brought out chicken, yes? Emes. My grandmother brought out chicken, and before he took a bite of the chicken, he used to hold a fork in his hand, and he used to say, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. And Mishnah Berurah writes, he's supposed to make a verbal declaration. I'm doing this for Shabbos. You go into the Gorm Lechbach, and you have a list of Shabbos groceries you're buying for Shabbos, and you take out the, you know, a package of chicken from the case in Gorm Lechbach, and you make a verbal declaration, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh. People might look at you weird, but that's the halacha. You're not weird, they're weird. That's, you're not strange, they are, right? You take some vegetables off the shelf, and you say, L'kavod Shabbos Kodesh, this is for Shabbos, and the Shalah writes, that it adds sanctity, it adds kedusha, when we prepare for Shabbos, and when we're cognitively aware that we're preparing for Shabbos. It has an effect on the way that we experience Shabbos. Shalah tells the following story. The Shalah says that, I don't remember who it is, I'm sorry. Rabbi Storch told me I didn't have to prepare, and I took him at his word. So I don't remember who it is. It's in. It's one of Dan Aron. It's the Shalah. The Mishnah Berurah quotes. Right, the Shalah says that one of the non-Jews came to one of the Amorim, and one of the DRS are in here for short notes, and they'll tell you as soon as I'm done. You know, came to one of the Amorim, and he said, I don't understand, why is it that the food on Shabbos smells so much better than the food the rest of the week? Eat Shabbos Tishchak Cholent on Tuesday night, we have Mishmar in Shul on Thursday night, we have Cholent. It's not the same as Shabbos Cholent, it's good, we try. But it's not the same. Why isn't the food on Shabbos taste so much better? And so he said, because we have a special spice that we use on Shabbos. And he said, what's it called? And he said, the spice is called Shabbos. And he said, okay, that's great. Where do I get it? He said, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. The spice of Shabbos is in the preparation for Shabbos. You know, Shabbos is not the same as Yom Tov. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes, Shir Lezecher Avi Mori. If I talk too long at any point, please just stop it. But once I get going, it's hard. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes in Shir Lezecher Avi Mori, there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Yom Tov, we have an obligation of Aliyah L'Regel. On Yom Tov, we go up to the Beit HaMikdash. On Yom Tov, we go to Yerushalayim. On Yom Tov, we go to God. On Shabbos, God comes to us. It's not that way. But if God is coming to us, then what do I need to do? If God is coming to me, the only thing I have to do is prepare. And to the extent that I prepare, and to the extent that I am cognitively aware that I'm preparing, I'm ready to receive God's bracha. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, that's why we say Kabbalah Shabbos on Friday night. We have no such thing on Yom Tov. Because on Yom Tov, we go to God. We don't have to do Kabbalah Shabbos to welcome God. Because on Yom Tov, we go to the Beit HaMikdash, we go to Yerushalayim. But on Shabbos, God comes to us. On Shabbos, God comes to us. I need to prepare. I have a special tefillah, welcoming God. Because God walks into our pool. And God walks into our home. And so when I prepare the home on Shabbos, the Mishnah Berurah writes that when I sweep the floor on Shabbos, you know, it's sort of like Bedikas Chametz. You know, you have a lot of Hasidic Torah by Bedikas Chametz that I'm not just cleaning the house, but I'm also doing a spiritual cleansing. You've heard that before, maybe. The Mishnah Berurah writes the same thing by Shabbos, the very same thing. When I'm preparing for Shabbos and I'm getting dressed for Shabbos and I'm cleaning the house for Shabbos and I'm setting the table for Shabbos and I'm preparing the candles for Shabbos, when I get ready for Shabbos, I'm getting ready to invite God into my home. And there has to be a spiritual side to preparing for Shabbos that accompanies my physical preparation for Shabbos. So when I go into the supermarket and I pick out my food or I'm cooking my food and I think to myself, I'm preparing this for Shabbos, I'm preparing this for that wonderful family meal that Rabbi Yitzchak described. I'm preparing this to share a meal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When I have those cognitive processes and when I verbalize it, when I make the verbal declaration, if I'm in my machshava mode, it's because I'm using, you know, more senses. I'm inviting my ruach to join with my nefesh and with my neshama. I'm inviting my ruach to play a part also, and that's why speech plays a role, and that's why it makes its way into the food, and that's why preparation for Shabbos is so significant, so important, and it elevates our experience of Shabbos in general. We've got to find a way. We've got to find a way to do active preparation for Shabbos, and also to be cognitively aware that I am doing active preparation for Shabbos, and not just do it without paying attention, and not just do it, you know, with passing and rushing in order to get to shul on time. Hopefully, get to shul on time.
Thank you. Sorry, the Gemara, if I recall correctly, that Uncle Moishi has a song with the Shabbos spirit, so you can eat Shabbos.
It's probably our bad problem.
I don't know which Uncle Moishi is. That's a whole other thing.
Just one quick thing, just to follow up on Fagalam gave a shirk klali there.
I'm really sorry.
It's important to realize that this is not flat. This is all rooted in thousands of years of tradition. Just appreciate where all those miracles are coming from. Just one note, and this is a question I have, and it comes about to preparation of Shabbos, and it relates a little to clothes as well, which I know is one of the topics. I just want a question I had many years ago. Do you feel special on Shabbos because it's Shabbos, or do you feel special on Shabbos because you're just shaved, you just had a good shower, you got your best clothes on, you put on the right smells, you got your best watch on, you feel like $1 million because of what you just did for yourself? I mean, like, is it an expression of Shabbos itself, or is it an expression of my dressing myself? This is a question I kind of like, you know, sometimes you feel like almost like a little fake, right? Meaning like, maybe just because, you know, like I'm in the right mode right now. So I asked this question to a person, towering person, whose name is Rav Moshe Eisenman, who should live and be well. Rav Moshe Eisenman was a student of Rav Dessler. Just to appreciate this. So that means when you shake his hand, you're going back two generations. You're shaking the Michtav of Eliyahu's hand when you shake his hand. Unfortunately, he's not fully with it right now, but he's already at an Eretz Yisrael, a tremendous person. And he said the following, and I just asked him this question. He says, you know what? It's a little bit of both. You experience Shabbos because of that preparation, and you experience it because of Shabbos itself. And the way I understood this is later on by a conversation I had with Rabbi Rafi Butler. Rabbi Butler said the following example, and I think this is so true. Ready for this? Imagine the following. Let's just by a show of hands. Who here has been to a wedding of somebody that really mattered in your life, among the boys? Who here has been to a wedding of somebody who's really, you've been close to? Just by a show of hands. And a young man. Somebody who's really mattered to you. A sibling, a cousin, a good older friend, right? So as we get older, God willing, we're going to spend more time going to weddings. We're going to start meeting our cousins, our siblings. We're going to start going to weddings of people really close to us. Now imagine the following. You're going to a wedding, somebody in your family, or even let's say it's on the outer circle of your life. And you arrive at the wedding, and the music's playing. They have the harp and the violin in the front. The smorgasbord is out. You're going to the chasnas tish, and you walk in your jeans and t-shirts. Now, just like for a moment, just try to experience. Try to think about what you're going to be feeling as you walk into that wedding. Let's add sandals just for kicks, right? Okay? And you walk into the chasnas tish, and it's a black tie event, right? We're talking tux. We're not talking, you know, just even regular suits. Now, think about this for a moment. What's happening in your mind? What's happening to the wedding? Now, has the wedding changed? Well, it looks a little strange, right? You know, like, but ultimately that, you know, But for yourself, are you going to experience the wedding the same way as you would have when you are dressed up? And the answer is no. You can put yourself into the situation. You can dance as much as you want. You're just not going to experience it the same way, for one simple reason is you're not ready for it. You didn't put yourself in the mode for that wedding. So everybody else is enjoying themselves. Everybody else is experiencing the simcha. And you're kind of like the bystander. You're kind of like the guy who had to pick up, you know, the velvet yarmulke in the box, you know, like, and you don't really, you're not really kind of part of the experience because you don't really know what's happening. That's what you've done to yourself. Why? Because you didn't get there. Shabbos is the same thing. Why do we feel special on Shabbos? It's only because we worked our way to there. We walk in looking like we should be in that simcha. That's how we experience it. So yes, it's a little bit of both. That's the power of the preparation. That's the power of the clothes, because that's how we experience simchas.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Shlomo. Well, that's all.
Okay, so just in terms of this concept of what's called Hachana L'Shabbos, so I once heard a story from Rav Braunschweigel. Some of the fathers might have had the opportunity to be in his shir, either NYU or Lander. And Rav Braunschweigel was giving over a shir specifically about Kavod Shabbos. And he told over the following story. Apparently it was at an early Aguda convention that was taking place in Europe. And Rav Blazer Silver, who was one of the great gedolim of American Jewry pre-war, had a conversation with the Gera Rebbe. And the Gera Rebbe basically was asking him, he asked him what he's learning. He told him he was learning the concept about the mitzvah of Shulach HaKan, mitzvah of sending forth the mother bird. And he posed the question, well, why is that mitzvah? It's referred to in Chazal as a mitzvah kala. It's a mitzvah kala. So he posed the question to Rav Blazer Silver, why is it called a mitzvah kala? And Rav Blazer answered, the answer that we would all give, it's because it's fairly simple. Especially when you contrast it, it's very often contrasted with Kibbut of the Aim. It takes a lot to honor a parent. To shoo away the mother's bird is nothing. So he said, he gave actually, Gera Rebbe gave a different insight into mitzvah kala. He said, all other mitzvos are mitzvos that are done, and we very often have a lot of preparation to do the mitzvah. He says, but Shlurach Khan, the mitzvah of sending forth the mother bird, you didn't plan for it. You're walking along the way. To your credit, it happens, you come upon the nest, and you shoot the mother bird. The Gera Rebbe says that any mitzvah that doesn't have the right preparation for it, that doesn't have the hachana, says that's a mitzvah kala. Says that's a light mitzvah. And Reb Braunschweigel used this to open up to his shir about Kavod Shabbos. Because part of Kavod Shabbos is about all the things that we do to prepare for Shabbos, to make it meaningful. Okay, we're ready, all the NFL season is done. I don't know how the fantasy leagues worked out. But we're heading into playoffs. When you have a Super Bowl party that you're invited to, no one just shows up for game time. Because, and you owe pregame. Because you understand that to really have that Super Bowl party, or to really go to the Super Bowl, or any important game, you don't just show up at the moment that the game starts. You want to get the full feel. You want to engage yourself. You get that, we'll talk about Big Day Shabbos, the jersey on. But the idea is that there's all that hachana, that all that preparation for something that especially is somewhat of meaning and what we invest ourselves in. You were mentioning about your step-grandfather. I couldn't believe it. This summer, I spend my summers up at the state of Monticello. And I can't believe this because like I was like shocked. But the grocery that I go to, one of the groceries that sometimes I'm sent to, is a Satma grocery. I kid you not. This woman, maybe this child is 2 years old, could not tell. And she's pulling off a yogurt off the counter. And this kid probably could not even speak it. And she's saying, L'shain Shabbos Kodesh. Right? And my pronunciations are not so great. But the idea being like, and I looked at this for myself, you know, the things that we do try and do. You know, it's very interesting that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was known to be said, you said this comment, it used to be that in America, the reality that was difficult was the practice of Shabbos. speak to your grandparents, your great-grandparents, and we hear the stories of people who had to give up so much to be Shomer Shabbos. The original Hashkama minyans in our shuls were actually minyan where people would daven and then go to work for many. But Shabbos was no longer a challenge. Baruch Hashem, the observance of Shabbos is so widespread. But Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said, the great challenge is not to be a Shabbos Jew, but to be an Erev Shabbos Jew. To do something within our lives for that pregame, to show that, to demonstrate that Shabbos is important, and therefore I'm going to do something. It could be something as small as maybe you know you're going to be busy the whole day, and you make your bed in the morning L'shem Shabbos Kodesh, or just all the different ways that we can. There's the famous Gemara of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai and his son Reb Elazar. They came out of the cave, and initially they came out of the cave and they had eyes that like speared people because they couldn't relate to a society where people were working when it should be Kulot Torah. So they went back into the cave, and then they come out of the cave later. And when they come out of the cave, it says Reb Shimon, it says Ahu Saba, he sees this old man, and it's Erev Shabbos, and he's running. And he's holding two hadassim. They're actually some very basic halachos of Erev Shabbos and Shabbos that we learned from this Gemara. And he says to me, he says, where are you running? He says, well, it's Shabbos. I'm running to Shabbos. He says, well, what are the hadassim for? He says, well, the hadassim are so that my house should spell nicely for Shabbos, i.e. the custom to buy flowers. And then he says to him, well, why do you have two? So he says, well, one's for Zachar, one's for Shomer. Harogel b'ner, the Gemara only said, ner Shabbos is one ner. The concept of two also comes from this Gemara, that he had one hadas and one hadas. And what's to be seen and the inspiration that we get is the running for Shabbos, the yearning for Shabbos. The Rechaim will just end, it says, v'shamru b'nei selos Shabbos. A few times before it said, shir Shabbos. So why is the Torah repeating it and saying v'shamru? It says there's a concept of v'shamru, is the shmira is the anticipation. He quotes the pasuk Valdiv Shamar Sadavar, a Sadavar, that Yaakov was waiting to see what would happen with Yosef's dream. The fact is, we were all on shul today. We said Hayom Yom Rishon L'Shabbos. That the Rav develops this idea very strongly that Shabbos is just—it's a one-day experience of observance, but it's a six-other-day experience of yearning and anticipating for Shabbos, and that's something that we also have to focus on in terms of our Shabbos observance, is the pre-Shabbos observance of the 6 days prior to Shabbos.
Thank you, Rabbi, so much. There are so many topics to get to, and I'm sure people have questions. I'm just going to give the Rabbanim each 1 minute to wrap up, maybe speak about one challenge, be it technology, be it clothing on Shabbos, topics we didn't get to, but really 1 minute just to wrap up and speak about your thoughts going forward as we embark on our journey of keeping, enjoying, and basking in Shabbos the rest of our lives.
Okay, just a closing thought. There's so much to talk about, but again, once again, this has been a very valuable time, certainly for me just being a listener. Just one last thought, and that is that a few years ago, Jonathan Sacks came to speak in Chicago, where I was living at the time, and he mentioned the following story. He was doing a BBC broadcasting show on education in general, not Jewish education, but education in general. He was a well-sought-after figure, and he talks about how he was doing a common show with a lady called Penelope Leach. Penelope Leach is one of the leading child psychologists in the UK, in the United Kingdom. And so after their show, after their set, it was a Friday morning, he decided, let's go to one of the day schools and show what like a Jewish day school looks like. After all, Jonas is an education expert. Wouldn't this be a great moment? So he brings her in, and it happens to be, they go to preschool, and they're doing a Shabbos party. In the Shabbos party, you know how it is, you've got the five-year-old mommy, and the five-year-old daddy, and the five-year-old grandmother, and the five-year-old grandfather, and everybody's at the Shabbos table doing their five-year-old Shabbos party. So she goes up to one of the kids and she says, you know, tell me, little Jamie, you know, what do you love about Shabbos? You know, Stephanie, what do you love, what do you hate about Shabbos? And she goes around and she talks about to all the kids, what is it that you love and hate? I love, you know, I love the food, I love this, I love that, I hate there's no TV, I hate there's no cell phones. And then finally one of the kids says, you know what I love about Shabbos? I love about Shabbos is the fact that mommy and daddy aren't running to check their email. And Penelope Leach, as she's walking out, she says, you know, Rabbi Sacks, Rabbi Lord Sacks, I want to tell you something. This Shabbos business is saving your families. And I think it takes time. We didn't talk about technology so much, I think that having conversations with different levels of ages across this room, and having spoken to many people, I think we'll find one thing in common. And that is that the older we are, the more we appreciate Shabbos. The older we are, the more we realize that we could not survive a single week without being able to switch off those devices. And I think it's a lesson that's worthy of thinking about for those who are on their way up, to think about how necessary it is to have Shabbos, specifically in a day like ours, because it is saving our families. Thank you.
Yeah, so just concluding words, just first in terms of the survey, it was interesting to see the bad news that I had particularly was one comment of the students, which is anonymous, was the negative parts of Shabbos. When YIW hires a chazan for Shabbos, this is true, I'm not making this up, and he takes way too long and schleps through davening. So I guess the good news is the drasha is not so bad. And so one of just words to end with is, first of all, a big yashkoach to the yeshiva for putting together this conversation. Shabbos is so precious that it can't be, you know, fully addressed in a panel discussion. But hopefully this can be a launching pad to talking about, you know, the various issues that we confront also as a community in terms of big day Shabbos, preserving the Shabbos. The fact that 10% of our young men honestly said that they're struggling with keeping the Shabbos, primarily, and the question I think was a very good one. It wasn't in terms of straight out violating Shabbos, it was in terms of the cell phone. And if we don't recognize what the threat technology has to our Shabbos observance, we're just not addressing Shabbos, and I think it's very courageous that the yeshiva put it out there. But it's a wonderful launching pad for all of our homes to focus on, well, what are we going to do to create the environment that's going to preserve our observance of Shabbos with all the elements of emunah and tefillah, hopefully not so long, and the spirit of Torah that we can create in our home environments, a shmirah Shabbos, an observance of Shabbos that, as we said, that has protected the Jewish people through our entire diaspora and is the central focus. And that's why very often, I always found this, especially Baruch Hashem, in the Windmere community, many of our families, almost all our families, and we only involve ourselves, that's just our social structure, are with people who are also Shabbos observant. But when you go outside, and I had opportunities sometimes to be outside solely homogeneous from communities, when you see people who don't know about Shabbos, so often when they come in contact with Shabbos, they're so inspired by the concept of a Shabbos, by the concept of pausing everything, of shutting off everything. And they really they cannot even fathom, and they're almost jealous of that ability to be able to disconnect, and as Rabbi Feigenbaum had mentioned, to use that as an opportunity to connect to all those things that are so meaningful, our families, our relationship with the Rabbonah Shalom, our communities, our Rabbanim, all that takes place in the context of Shabbos. And so, Mitzvah Hashem, this should just lead to further conversations in the homes. That would be the perfect start. This Shabbos, Friday night, Shabbos day, not, right, Leil Shabbos, I said Friday night. Leil Shabbos, Shabbos day, put it out there. What did you think about the panel? And have a conversation about that. Have a conversation about the survey. Have a conversation of how, as a community and as a home, we inspire ourselves with greater Shabbos observance.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, I don't think I can say anything surprising at this point. I'm hoping that everybody's starting to feel the beat of my drum. But, you know, I think that that as Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote in The Lonely Man of Faith, and Rabbi Soloveitchik wrote it, before the boom in technology, that as majestic man continues to vanquish covenantal man, and I hope that reference means something to some of y'all. But as we continue to master the world, and as our mastery of the world becomes greater and greater, so it's not surprising that that the Shabbos becomes more difficult, because the Shabbos is that opportunity to invite God into our lives and to feel like we live with God. And as society continues to move, sadly, away from God because we continue to master nature more and more. So it makes the Shabbos all that more significant and all that more important for us to make that statement, to invite God into our lives, to break from our regular mastery of the world and to say, hey, you know, we're not the ultimate masters of the world, and we follow God's commands, and we'd love to live hand in hand with God, walking side by side with us, feeling His presence not only on the Shabbos, but also as we move throughout our work week. Thank you very much for this.
Thank you. Let me thank Rabbi Trump, and the volunteers, and I thank them at the end, and Rabbi Atzmon, and the women. I know I learned a tremendous amount today, and I hope that this really sparks a conversation within the family. We keep the conversation going. Have a wonderful week, and here's the Shabbos. Have a good Shabbos. Have a Shabbos.
I'm not trying to be rude, but I apologize.